Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
For it is not unknown how
abuse obtains in all the churches, by what manner of men are said, only for fees and stipends, and how many celebrate them contrary to the canons. But Paul severely threatens those who deal unworthily with the Eucharist, when he says in 1 Corinthians, "Whoso shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." When, therefore, our priests were admonished concerning this sin, private masses were discontinued among us, and scarcely any private masses were celebrated except for lucre's sake. So far the confession reading. This morning, Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever, so far." This morning's epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of those tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severity as he wills." So far, the epistle. Sought to destroy him. and they could not find what they might do. Because of all the people, they were very attentive to hear him. So in their regeneration, wiser than the children of light. So far, the Holy Gospel.
The only begotten Son of God, begotten.
triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is peace or destruction, and it's based upon our gospel, but I would like to read verse 41 once again. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. So far, please be seated. When one drives south of here, about 80-90 miles, you see a very interesting sight. You see the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And as you make your approach to the cities, you see the skyline with its tall skyscrapers, indicating the business district. And as you drive through town, you see many businesses and shopping centers. Compared to many cities such as LA and Chicago, many sections are new or they are now under construction. And the architecture of some we could be proud of. And with all this advancement and beauty, one could get the idea that there are no problems in the Twin Cities. But if you think that, it's only because we are judging the city by outward appearances. Well, many people thought the very same thing concerning the city of Jerusalem. They too were under the impression that all was well. And it was a flourishing city. The people were prepared to celebrate the greatest holiday on their calendar, which is the Passover. And on this holiday, they remembered the marvelous manner in which God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. Hundreds of people were making their way to Jerusalem with joy in their hearts and songs of praise on their lips. Inside the city, the merchants were getting ready to do a record business, taking advantage of all the excitement from the people. Yes, to observe this, one would conclude that all was well with the city of Jerusalem and that there was peace in that city. But there was no peace. In reality, Jerusalem was in very serious trouble. It was about to be destroyed. Jesus sees beyond the obvious. He looks beyond outward appearances to the impending destruction. And as he comes to close to that city, we're told that he wept over it. And while others were singing and shouting, Jesus weeps. He sees something that others do not see. And what does he see? He sees Jerusalem, the city that has welcomed kings from all over the world, rejecting the King of Kings. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jerusalem did not want him. Jerusalem spit on him, and Jerusalem finally killed him. And usually when one is scorned and rejected, it turns into hatred. But not so with Jesus. There was no anger, no hatred in the eyes of Christ. There were only tears. Is there nothing in Jerusalem, with all of its beauty, its temple, to stop those tears? Absolutely not. This Jerusalem, referred to as the Holy City, had no longer the right to bear that name. Its holiness was nothing but a sham. It reeked with the stench of sin. Jesus saw more than the beautiful streets and the homes. He saw more than just people. He read their hearts. And he saw their pride, their selfishness, their lust for material security. He saw a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, eating like a gourmet, but refusing to give a beggar a crumb. He saw a woman caught in the act of adultery, dragged into court by men who were as guilty as she was. Yes, Jesus saw Jerusalem as it really was. He saw Jerusalem's sins, sins of unbelief, its refusal to believe that the things that make for peace do not exist. Jesus saw a city that had been raised to the heights of wealth and power, sinking into doom and damnation, headed straight into the eternal destruction. Jerusalem's day of grace was drawing to a close. Remember these words of Christ, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee, how I would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not. God had indeed graciously visited Jerusalem and offered it things that make for peace and salvation, but they rejected. They rejected one prophet after another. They even killed some. Finally, John the Baptist came on the scene and pointed to the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sins of the world. John, too, was rejected. As a matter of fact, John was put to death. Then Christ himself appeared, announcing the gospel, healing the sick, preaching deliverance from sin, but even he was rejected, condemned, and crucified. Now it was too late. Now the things that make for peace are hidden from their eyes. Now the judgment of God is impending and destruction is imminent. Well, God has visited our cities too, our towns. The good news of salvation has been proclaimed. He has given his gracious invitation, come unto me, and I will grant you forgiveness of sins. He has visited and continues to visit in word and sacrament. But just as in times past, there are still those who reject, and just as in times past, Jesus continues to weep. Many still want no part of Christ, no part of his peace, forgiveness, and salvation. And as Jerusalem, not knowing or caring that God's time of visitation will eventually come to an end, and when it ends, there will be nothing but total destruction, damnation, and hell to all those who have rejected. This is why Jesus wept over Jerusalem, over the cities and towns, over those who still reject him. As Jesus says, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. There was once a man named Alexander the Great. He had surrounded a certain city, and he lit a fire outside of that city, and it kept burning day and night. And he told the people that as long as that fire was burning, they could surrender and be saved. But once that fire was put out, the city and all that were in it would be destroyed without mercy. My dear friends in Christ, we have the fire of the gospel. Almighty God has set up his light, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. It's been burning now for many years, inviting people to surrender and to be saved, to come to him, that they might find and then receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. But there will come a day when God's fire of saving grace will be extinguished. It happened to Jerusalem, it happened in the temple, and it will happen in this world. May God grant us grace and the ability to share the saving gospel with those who Jesus Christ weeps for. And may God, the Holy Spirit, draw them to the saving gospel, to the saving light. And may the saving fire of the gospel continue to blaze in our hearts and lives, bringing us safely to heaven's manned mansions. May God grant this to each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the eternal joys of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
That David is going through. We want to thank you for the improvement that you have allowed him to take place, and we're praying that it continues and gets better over the days and weeks. So we turn these families over to your care, Father. We know that they are in good hands because they are in yours, and nothing shall ever separate them from your love. We approach your throne of grace and healing in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them, give rest unto the soul, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament for their damnation. Take off from us this bodily garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life grant us all a place at your heavenly table, for we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. We continue with the hymn, Draw Nigh and Take the Body of the Lord. Please be seated.
Oh, sir.
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Continue to do this after me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Take, drink, the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Shed.
The remission
of all your sins.
The Lord bless you and keep you in saving grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
mercy, that you would strengthen us in the same faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Upon you and grant you his peace.